So I think one of the main things that I see across the board is that fear of making a mistake, you know, and the fear of sounding funny or offending. I get a lot of this, like, well, I can talk to you because you're my teacher, but what if I go out and say something wrong and I offend people? They kind of like keep to themselves, or they start overthinking about the grammar rules. And I tell them all the time, how do kids learn? We all know that kids learn so fast. It's because they're not focusing on that piece. They're not focusing on, will I make a mistake? They just let it go. And if they make a mistake and you correct them while we are having a conversation, they say, oh, okay, that's fine. And then they start using it. So it's not really taking things too seriously.
This is The Changeup. I'm Keith Hernandez. This week's guest is founder of Press 2 for Español, Carmen Diaz. We talk about her journey from teaching in schools in Texas to teaching Spanish online. We discuss how she took her love of language and passion for helping others and turned it into a business, and her plans for growth to help her home country, Guatemala. All right, excited for my next guest. She is the founder of Press 2 for Español, Carmen Diaz. Carmen, what's up?
Hi, Keith. Nice to see you, and nice to meet you again.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on. I think we're going to have a really fun conversation. I'm going to share my dark secrets about not knowing Spanish. And we're going to talk about all this. But before we dive into all of that, tell us a little bit about what Press 2 for Español is.
So Press 2 for Español is a Spanish language school. Most of the business is online. I have students all over the U.S. And it's geared to adult education. And where I focus in teaching Spanish to people that want to get conversational and they're passionate about the language. They either want to travel around Latin American countries or they want to be closer to their clients and be able to speak to them. So that's what Press 2 is all about. And also to have fun while we're learning.
That's very cool. And why conversational versus written, right? Like for so many people, when they learn another language here in the United States, particularly, it is about conjugating the verbs, about memorizing the different things and writing it out. You've decided to take a different tact and focusing on the conversational part of it. Why is that?
So we do conjugate and we work on all of that, but the main focus is to get conversational because people want to be able to have conversations and be social with their language skills. And when the approach of learning just the grammar, I see it as, you know, students get a little bit bored and it's not practical. And by focusing on getting them as conversational as soon as possible, then they're able to engage with other people and do that social part that it's so important. That's what most people want to get to.
I totally agree with you, right? In my experience, we talked about this before and I'll share it now. You know, my family on my father's side is Puerto Rican, speaks Spanish, bilingual, did not grow up with them. So I don't speak Spanish. And I've tried to learn so many different times. I did Spanish class in high school. I've been on and off with Duolingo. And there's always just something that blocks it. And I think it has been that conversational part because there hasn't been that level of, am I learning this as an academic endeavor, which maybe there's a little block in my head, versus I'm going to learn it so that I can go and really immerse myself in a culture, whether it's Mexico or Spain or Guatemala, wherever it might be. I love that you're thinking about that because that is that next step, is how do you apply it? Because I think a lot of people, the block is it's an academic endeavor versus it's a social endeavor.
And the grammar is so important. There are, you know, it's the building block. So I usually tell my students the first lessons are going to be grammar heavy, but everything with the focus on, you know, as soon as possible to get you start having conversations. And they can start as soon as like, even like a month after having a couple of lessons with me, I pressure to start having those conversations. Most students are a little reluctant because they get shy. What if I make a mistake? Yeah. What if I sound funny? But it's just getting it out there. And me, as an English language learner, I completely understand what's to learn a second language and be afraid to sound funny. I mean, for me, it was the same thing. So I completely understand. And I think that's where my students begin to feel comfortable. And it's all about making them comfortable. And then once they're comfortable with me, they can start feel comfortable with other people around them.
That's very cool. So why did you start this? When did you start it and what was the genesis for this?
So I am passionate about languages, not only Spanish, but I'm passionate about learning languages and cultures. And I started my career after graduating from college. I didn't study education. I studied marketing, but then I was hired by a school district in Texas to teach young kids at a school, to teach them math and prep them for the state test. And that's when I started teaching, and that was the start of my career. I really didn't have any experience with marketing. And at the beginning, it was hard because, you know, teaching is, I mean, you really need to understand how to deliver a lesson so that, you know, especially kids understand and they get motivated. So that took a long time. And then after some years of being at a school district, I was exhausted because, you know, it's a lot of work. Teachers do amazing job, and especially in inner city schools where, you know, all that the teachers do for the kids, they're doing an amazing job. And I wanted to do something else. I wanted to focus more on teaching languages and teaching it to adults. So I started to think about ways of doing it. And I started studying the language because one thing is, you know, being able to speak a language. And then the other thing is able to teach it. And that's when I started the school, and I began online pre-pandemic. It was a blessing.
You set it up originally as online only, or were you doing online and in-person pre-pandemic?
I was doing a couple of in-person, but it was mainly online. It was a blessing because when the pandemic hit, I was already used to delivering lessons online.
Which so many of us had to struggle with, right?
Yeah.
I know in my profession, that like on the advertising marketing side, it was all about meeting in person. It was all about getting together over lunches and then doing it over Zoom. We were like, wait, this is so different.
Yeah. And that completely changed. And then I had so much work during peak months of the pandemic. The people that were reluctant to have lessons online were beginning to explore that area. And also they had so much time available and they were stuck at home. Then, you know, I had a lot of work. So that was also a blessing.
I always admire the people who did something during the pandemic, like learned a new language or got in better shape. I was just freaking out. I was watching a lot of Netflix. But I respect those people that were doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, everybody was watching. What was that show that everybody watched?
Oh, man. I want to repress that. The Tiger Show or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. So talk to me about the first couple of clients that you got. You mentioned that you have a background in marketing, but you went to teach. Did you apply some of the marketing skills that you had before to get those? Were it referrals? How did you get those first couple of clients?
Yeah, I got them through word of mouth at the beginning. And then I did a couple of, you know, social media, and that's how I started getting it. And then I got some leads from other sources, and it was just mainly that. And then mainly word of mouth. And then it started building up, and then I had so many more clients coming in. People range from, like, you know, stay-at-home moms to business executives, doctors, lawyers. I have a lot of doctors that want to be able to talk to their patients without the need of a translator. So that kind of like human connection. And most people, I mean, even if they do it for business or otherwise, they really love the language. And they really love the culture. So they really are interested in learning it because they have that passion for it.
You kind of answered my question where the commonality was. And it is the passion in language or the love of the culture and wanting to experience it more. If you had to kind of put a percentage weight on it, are people doing it so that they can go travel and really experience it? Are people doing it for the business side? Or are you kind of seeing it in both areas?
In both areas. I have people that have a travel that is coming up and they say, I'm going to get a little bit of Spanish or maybe sharpen some of my skills. But then they stay because they really enjoy it and they realize that it's a really fun way of learning. And then some others, they do it because of their business. But there's always that commonality of having a love for the language and a passion for learning it. I have also some students that are retirees. And they do it because they want to keep themselves active. So they learn another language. I have two Hollywood movie stars that I taught. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What kind of commitment do they need to do this? Is this a couple of hours a week? Is this homework every single day? What are you recommending for people to really immerse themselves in the new language?
Yes, that's a really important question because I tell them once we start the lessons that there has to be a level of commitment. Let's say meeting with me once a week. it's a great way to do it. And most people are scared. What if, you know, Carmen gives me homework and then, you know, I have all this work commitments, but it's mainly doing fun stuff. Even if you start listening to music in Spanish and maybe looking up the lyrics and then making the connection, or watching a movie that you know the script by heart because you've been watching it for such a long time, and then you put the audio in Spanish and then you start making the connections that we make in class. So it's fun things like that. Just a little bit of that every week, and you know, it will make a complete difference in their learning.
I love that so much. I will give one caution. Do not translate Bad Bunny lyrics and share them.
Yes.
That's what they call stucio, right? It's a little
dirty. Oh my goodness. Every now and then I get a request for that and I say, absolutely not. I'm not going to go there.
Yes. Yeah, maybe like Mark Anthony or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Talk about love. Yeah.
And it Mark Anthony is always a great suggestion. Yes.
So what are some of the common hurdles early on for people? You know, because if people are excited about this and want to learn, what are you seeing as some of those early hurdles that once you get over that, you can start to really accelerate and grow?
So I think one of the main things that I see across the board is that fear of making a mistake, you know, the fear of sounding funny or offending. I get a lot of this, like, well, I can talk to you because you're my teacher, but what if I go out and say something wrong and I offend people? Mm. They kind of like keep to themselves, or they start overthinking about the grammar rules. And I tell them all the time, how do kids learn? We all know that kids learn so fast. It's because they're not focusing on that piece. They're not focusing on, will I make a mistake? They just let it go. And if they make a mistake and you correct them while we are having a conversation, they say, oh, okay, that's fine. And then they start using it. So it's not really taking things too seriously.
I love that advice.
The lesson is, you're supposed to enjoy it. And just if something comes out wrong, I mean, I correct it, or even someone else outside, if you're using it, you know, practicing your Spanish, let's say with someone that you met and someone corrects, it's okay. It's a correction, and then you'll never forget about it. And I understand that because that's how I learn English. People will correct me, and it may feel a little weird at the beginning, but then I will never make that mistake again.
So yeah, you mentioned that earlier on, and I wanted to come back to that because it's a real strong point of empathy with you, right? Where English is not your first language. You learned
it's
English.
Not, yeah.
When did you move here?
So I moved here for college and I was 18. I had already gone to a bilingual school in Guatemala.
Gotcha.
So I knew how to speak English, but it was not perfect. And it was more on the academic side,
exactly.
I would say. Yeah. And I made so many mistakes when I came. And I remember, you know, as a young, you know, 18-year-old trying to like set up services, the phone, and I will make calls. And then people will get like a little annoyed with me because I wouldn't understand. And I would have to ask for them to repeat the information. Mm. And of course, it's uncomfortable, but you learn from those situations.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, there is a cultural difference there too, right? Like in the United States, we're jerks. Like we want people just to speak English. Whereas when you go elsewhere in the world, they, especially when you try to speak their language, they see it as a sign of respect and a sign that you're attempting to be part of the culture, be part of what's happening day to day. And that's another part that I think a lot of people who are learning a language like need to experience for themselves to see. But you know, when you try in Spanish, you get a little like a smile from the person behind the cashier or something like, oh, wow, this is fun. And this is amazing.
Yeah. And I would have to say that, you know, for most of the part, you know, whenever I was speaking English for the, you know, the first few times when I moved here, people were kind and, you know, very receptive. And I've seen that with, you know, all around. Sometimes I even like up to this day, I make mistakes and it's okay. You know, I understand now that that's part of the process. And after so many years of speaking English and being here, I mean, I still make a mistake every now and then, especially if I'm nervous. So I might make a mistake now, you know, a little bit of a mistake, and that's okay. But you're absolutely right. People, when you're trying to speak their language, we feel very appreciative that you want to learn about our culture, that you care. And what I always tell students is most people don't know a second language. And the fact that you know and you're able to carry a conversation, even by making mistakes, puts you ahead of the curve. And people are going to be very appreciative that you want to learn their language. So, yeah.
This week's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. For the past 6 months, I've literally taken it every single day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and didn't want to have to load up on dozens of supplements. Every morning, I get the coffee going, then make my AG1, and try to drink it before my dog jumps on my lap asking for a walk outside. It's a great start to the day. Since drinking AG1, I've noticed a boost in energy and the ability to bounce from working, taking my daughter to her soccer, gymnastics, baseball, field hockey practices. We got to figure out what sport she actually loves. It's super simple. You take one scoop of AG1 and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotic, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Those are really good if you're traveling for business, and I have been using them a lot. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/changeup. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/changeup to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition insurance. What is the method that you do that you're seeing so much success with your students in terms of the conversation? What are you doing a little bit differently that they might just not have clicked with before?
So what I do is the first lessons, they're, like I said, kind of grammar heavy. And I try to teach the present, the future, and the past. And even though when we get to those, they know it at a rudimentary level, but they're going to be able to have conversations. Every time that we have conversations, we usually talk about our past experiences and our future experiences, and some in the present. So once they know the basic of that and how it works, they are able to have conversations. And then we start focusing on the conversational piece. And at the beginning, it's hard, but then, you know, you start seeing how conversations begin to flow. I also focus a lot on teaching on how the students learn, like tailoring the lessons to their needs. So if there's, you know, a student learns by repetition, or if a certain student is more an auditory learner, I focus on developing that lesson according to the needs. So we are reaching out in a different level. You know, I'm always checking in with them, but it's also focusing on that present, past, and future. And once we get there, it's just a matter of using it. And then we start building upon it.
Very cool. And is there a certain time frame that you have with your students, or is it ongoing? Do they stick with you for months and years, or is it kind of finite?
So I've been so lucky that most of my students, like I would say 90% of my students stick with me. Even if they just initiated because of travel, they just stay because they see how much they have progressed over a little period of time. And I try to make classes fun. So they usually stick and we create really strong bonds. So I feel like I'm the luckiest person in the world because I have friends all over the US. And sometimes when they are in town, we get together for dinners and it's amazing.
That's really cool. We talked about this a little offline and I want to jump into it a little bit here because I'm part of this, right? This generation of Latinos and US Hispanics who just did not grow up with Spanish. Yes. And now at 41 and others are in their 30s and 40s trying to learn the language now. And it's a little bit harder. Are you seeing that in the work that you're doing, that you're getting more Latinos and US Hispanics?
I do. I have a couple of students that are doing it because their families are Hispanic. Some of them, their parents, some of them, their grandparents, that they wouldn't be able to talk to abuelita. And they're so happy and thrilled that they say, well, I studied in high school, but I just learned the grammar and then I got frustrated and then I left it for so many years. But then here I am trying to make this work. And then whenever they're starting to have conversations and they go back to their grandma or their mom and they're able to carry on the conversations, they get super, super excited. It's very fulfilling.
That's really cool. It's interesting because there's just this growing group that realizes and recognizes it's that's like, yeah, it sucks that we didn't learn at a young age, but it's important to carry on the tradition and important to carry on the conversations with extended family members, right? So I love that.
It's part of who you are. So it just, you know, absolutely. Like, right? And then it's, you know, you're learning you're about your heritage, you're learning so much more. So yeah.
Yeah. So when did you know this was going to be a business? Was there a point where you said, okay, this is going to be it. This is my business. This is full time. I'm going to put everything into it.
Maybe a year into it when I was transitioning from being at the school district and then doing this, I said, you know, it started like picking up and I was loving it. I was just loving the human connection and being able to teach my language and not only my language, but my culture and being able to make those connections with all my students. And it has built into a great business for me. And I moved during the pandemic from Texas to DC, and I was able to do it because my business is online. It's a great way to do it.
So how do you manage the scaling of it, right? You know, this is one of those things where your business is you, right? Like it's the knowledge that you have, the expertise that you can bring and the conversations that you have, but there's only so many hours in a day. So how do you manage that to make sure that you're hitting the total potential clientele that you have and that you're also keeping yourself sane and have some time for yourself?
That's so important. And that's at the point where I am right now because the business has grown so much. And like you said, there are so many hours in a day and so many times I have crazy hours of work. And I'm in the process of expanding this and getting teachers teach under me. And my idea and what I really want to work on is getting teachers from Guatemala. We have really great language teachers in my country that, you know, will benefit so much from having a better salary and from working at home. And my students will benefit from having amazing teachers that know the language, that know how to teach it. So I'm in the process of doing that, hiring the teachers and expanding the business so I can get more business into Press too. And then more students can benefit from the language school.
Very cool. And when you bring those teachers on, are you then going to step away and be more of a coach to them? Or are you going to continue to be practicing it as well?
No, I love it so much that I really have to continue practicing. I really enjoy what I do. Maybe my hours will be more limited and then I will be working on the coaching part, but I really like the student-teacher connection. And so I think that's something that I will never let go of.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Because I think that part of it too, is you can, especially as you start to grow the business and hire more of these teachers, you're on the front lines with them and you might see the same problems or might hear the same concerns. So you can kind of jump right in and help. What other services are you offering? I think you shared a little bit with me about a document translation service.
So yeah, that's another way of reinventing myself and in providing employment to people in my country. I already, you know, have lined up a team of translators in Guatemala that are certified by the U.S. Embassy to translate English and Spanish. And I'm working with them to start offering also document translations, legal documents, translations for websites, any type of translations. And that way I can provide employment for them. And, you know, it's a way of reinventing my business a little bit.
Very cool. Is this entrepreneurial spirit part of your family? Are there other folks in your family that have businesses that they started, or are you the first one?
So my dad has an interesting story. He already passed away. He was such an amazing person. He immigrated from Spain to Guatemala when he was 31, and he had to reinvent himself when he got there. And at the beginning was tough, but you know, then he was able to start his business and, you know, he provided for all of us and his family. And I was able to come here to the United States because, you know, he provided for all of us. So, yeah.
What was his business?
So he had an industrial painting company. So people will, like architects and engineers that were building and construction will hire him to do all the painting for the buildings.
What did he know about that before he started the business?
Nothing. So it's an interesting story. So my dad in Spain was a bullfighter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. And to me, I mean, I'm the biggest animal lover. You know, yeah. I love, adore dogs. And I just try to think about it as this was in his era. I was born when my dad was 46, so he was way older.
Okay.
And this was in his era, and this was in Spain. And then when I was growing up, he was also like an animal lover. So I don't understand. And I would get with him in all this discussions over it, like why, you know, and arguments about it. But yeah, he definitely had to reinvent himself when he got to Guatemala, because he was not going to bullfight in Guatemala.
So he retired from that?
Yeah.
And what brought him to Guatemala? What was the...
Love. Love. Yeah. Yeah, that's where he met my mom. I mean, he went to Guatemala because he met another girl who he married, and he married her. And unfortunately, she passed away. And after... You know, my mom was his second marriage.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I want to hear more about this bullfighting.
I know. It's kind of insane. I know.
An amazing story there. So you had that entrepreneurial spirit, and you brought that over with you.
Yeah.
When you shared with your family you were going to do this, what was kind of the immediate reaction? You were going to stop teaching at a school to teach for your own business. What was the family's reaction to that?
A lot of my family at the beginning, my dad had already passed away, were a little bit concerned, because you're like going from a safe paycheck to something that is not safe. And they were worried about that. But, you know, once they saw that it was working and that I was able to fulfill my dreams, then they were super excited, and they have been great, and they have supported me throughout this.
That's fantastic. What advice would you give people who want to learn a new language? What are some of those things, you know, you talked a little bit about earlier, you know, being a kid, like kid at heart, and understanding not to kind of fall down on every mistake. What are some of those other things when people are just starting out with this that they should kind of keep in mind?
I believe that if you have the dream to learn a second language, just get started and then enjoy the ride. It's all about enjoying it and not taking things too seriously. Taking things seriously to me means, well, if, you know, I'm going to listen to music in Spanish, I might watch this movie in Spanish. That's kind of like taking things seriously. But when you're in class and where you're learning, I see a lot of students beating themselves up if they don't get something right away. And I try to tell them, you're not going to get it right away, because you're learning. It's a new skill. So just to be patient with yourself and accepting that it's going to take a while. And enjoy the ride. And if you make a mistake, make a mistake. It's okay.
It's good advice. I think it's stuff that people always forget, right? And especially, I'm sure you're dealing with, especially on the business side, some high achievers, some high-powered people who are used to getting told, no matter what they say, that they're right.
Yes, I do. I do.
That's also kind of a fun thing. I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I volunteer as a firefighter, mostly because it's a skill that I don't know and I have to learn, and I have to be quiet and humble. So I think that's part of learning a different language as well, is that it's uncomfortable.
It is.
Especially for people that are really good at their jobs or really good at something, to be, you know, in their adult life and having something that they're vulnerable at is a different experience.
Yeah.
It's really tricky.
You exactly hit the point, you know, it is. And it's just, you know, letting go and enjoying it. And if you let go, you're going to learn it way easier and way faster than if you're like focusing on the little things and getting too concerned about things.
Very cool. And I don't want to get into the names of people, but I love that you mentioned the Hollywood movie stars. Were they studying to learn Spanish for a particular role? Is that what the goal there was, or they were just trying to learn?
The two that I had, and they're great friends of mine now, they were just learning because they loved it. They loved the language. And at the beginning, you know, I have to be honest, I was a little intimidated, you know, but then, you know, after the first lesson, you know, everybody's on the same boat trying to learn a language, normal dudes, you know, and great guys, you know, and now we're good friends. So, yeah, but it was the love of the language mainly.
That's very cool. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. What are some of the words that trip people up the most, or that kind of throw you off if they say it incorrectly?
Okay, so I see, and it's so funny because I think most people have, like in English, if they put an O to a word in English, that is in Spanish. So for example, so result, the word for result in Spanish is resultado. Mm-hmm. And I keep hearing resulto. because if they just put an O to it, and I say, no, it's not resulta, it's resultado. And then, but it's funny because it's the same thing when for Spanish speakers with English.
Yeah.
And because I'm a Spanish speaker, you know, and I was born in Guatemala, every Spanish speaker that doesn't know the language, that doesn't know how to speak English, they will think that if they put T-I-O-N to every word, they're speaking English. So correction, you know, they everything is por favoration, you know, they do every T-I-O-N word and they think they're speaking English. It's the same thing. Yeah.
I love that. That's hilarious. Yeah. So I love asking this question, and you hit a little bit on your expansion, but if we were to catch up in about a year from now, what do you hope to be most proud of with the company, with yourself, whether it's the expansion or whatever? I'd love to hear what this next year has for you.
I would love to be having the teachers in Guatemala. And I mentioned Guatemala because that's where I'm from, but I'm open to other countries in Latin America because we have great workers that are in need of work. And this is an opportunity for them. Having the teachers in Latin America and having my group of translators in Latin America and seeing this business grow and being able to keep teaching and giving opportunities also to my students to learn the language because it's expanding their horizons. Maybe they're going to be able to enjoy their vacations a little bit more, or maybe they can have better job opportunities or even meet someone special. So having that and growing the business into that I can have more students and I can provide good employment for people that are great, that will be a successful year for me.
That's very cool. How can people learn more about Press2 for Español?
So yes, they can go to my website, press2forespanol.com. The website might be going a couple of changes. So it might be down a few days, but then it's going to be up. And also my email, info@press2forespanol.com. And also our phone number, which is 202-899-8180.
Great. And you're offering free consultations to kind of figure out where people are in their Spanish?
Yes, I do a free 30-minute class where they get a sense of how the lessons work. You know, we get to talk about their goals and setting their goals. And yeah, I offer that.
And something we didn't talk about, we talked a lot about the one-on-one lessons, but I think something important to mention is the semi-private lessons, right? Where you can do it with a friend or with a couple of friends and the importance of that, right?
Yes.
And how much more fun that could be, right? Learning a different language. So can you talk a little bit about the semi-private lessons?
Yes, the semi-private lessons work perfectly because then you engage in conversation with your classmates and they're like, you know, a small group of people, 2 to 4 students taking the lessons. And then you can interact with other students and it makes it a comfortable setting. They're not only interacting with me, but with other students. So that's another great way to learn. And also offering the corporate Spanish where companies can offer Spanish for their employees as a benefit to them to learn a second language. So just like some companies offer yoga for their employees after work yoga, learning a second language is also very important. So that's another service that I offer.
That's a really cool service. And I hope more companies pick up on that, right? Because again, it's one of those things that it's good for business, right? To have your students learning different languages or your employees learning different languages. If you're learning together and going through this process together, that's a real experience that you can have and you can always look back on.
And it's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, Carmen, thank you so much. This was great having this conversation. Again, if people want to find out more, they can go to press2forespanol.com. Carmen, it's been great chatting with you. Thank you so much. And
thank you,
best of luck with the expansion. This has been fun.
Thank you so much, Keith. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Change Up, produced by Elena Weedlin, with original music by Rodney Hazard. If you liked what you heard, we'd appreciate your support by liking, sharing, leaving a comment, and subscribing wherever you listen. Thanks once again. Until next time.